Recently, while working as a chaplain, I watched a group of 7 people, family and medical staff, trying to help someone who was in pain. And each person who was trying to help was being perfectly reasonable. They all had good intentions. But it was a case of too many cooks in the kitchen. Suggestions, they're all reasonable suggestions, by reasonable people, they came at a rapid fire. So fast, it seemed to overwhelm the person who needed the help. Often, one person would undo what the last person had done, readjusting a pillow back to where it started, or removing a piece of equipment someone else had just brought in. And luckily, a calm nurse navigated all of it to systematically work through the solutions and medications to help, and slowly the situation improved. Throughout all this, I felt my own desire to jump in and offer solutions. With some effort, I stopped myself. As much as I wanted to suggest this or that, I could see that things were moving much too fast, and one more person would just make things speedier. These days, it feels like the world is moving faster and faster. It's hard to keep up with the news and harder to find a way to really help. If we're not careful, we become speedy too, not paying attention to things the way we need to and causing more trouble. Technology does some amazing things, but I think it has developed faster than our wisdom. We haven't thought carefully about what needs to be done, so we develop the ideas that will make the most money. We solve the problem of increasingly brief moments of boredom and inconvenience for privileged people, while, for example, neglecting the fact that we throw away tons of food while millions go hungry. In developing those technologies that solve our boredom, we don't just neglect the greater needs of others, we neglect ourselves, our own need for meaningful nourishment and connection. Those moments of depth that make life meaningful can't be found in a hurried scroll through a social media feed. They require time, time to reflect, to pay attention, and to be bored. I think we developed those distracting technologies, shallow and empty as they might seem, out of a deep desire for meaning and depth and beauty. We know in our bones that there's something more than waiting in line at the bank. We want those transcendent, profound moments we know are possible. We think maybe if we avoid discomfort and seek entertainment, we'll find them. Certainly, if you look at advertisements, you'd think so. We think we have to remove ourselves from the line at the bank and experiencing something extraordinary to feel joy. But the most profound moments in my own life have not been at the top of Mount Everest. They've been standing on a sidewalk, watching a dogwood tree drop its petals on an otherwise uneventful workday, watching the grass grow with my new baby, listening to a song I'd heard 1,000 times. Nothing special, but the most wonderful, meaningful times. Certainly, I have enjoyed the special moments in life, the fancy dinners and the big occasions. But the most memorable moment in my relationship wasn't the wedding. The wedding was really nice. But the day when, without my asking, my then boyfriend cleaned my grimy new apartment without my asking, because he wanted me to be comfortable there, that was when I knew he really cared. I'll always remember the trip to Paris I was lucky enough to take. But the first time in my adult life when I really felt present in the moment, eating a pizza in a car behind the Plattsburgh YMCA, that means more to me. We have to make room for ourselves to be bored and uncomfortable if we're going to make room for the moments of real meaning. Our transcendentalist Unitarian forebears called for us to find our connection to the divine within ourselves. And they emphasize time and nature as one way to do this. I think they were right that there is something special to be found in nature, and it's good for us to find balance there. But the problem isn't that transcendence isn't available in line at the bank. It's that our minds are moving so fast, they miss it. This tendency to think of our experience in terms of seeking the extraordinary outside of our present moment bleeds into our approach to all sorts of things, our careers, our family life, even our work for others. We often think that the way we show our commitment to justice is being through these big protests at important moments. The moments for that are rare. The TV history of Rosa Parks doesn't include the 12 years of tedious activism and preparation of networks she did before she sat down. But without that, she wouldn't have accomplished much. Often the question is whether you can park your ego long enough to pay attention to the little things. It's not that the big stuff doesn't matter. It's that the little stuff is big too. Getting people's gender pronouns right, learning the preferred language for talking about gender identity, and working to respect transgender and genderqueer identities in everyday language can be really important to people facing big and small aggressions every day. When the big thing happens, the little moments could make the difference. For example, the difference between knowing there is a safe place. When the president's announcement of a ban on transgender people in the military comes down, or feeling alone and afraid. We need to show up for the big moments, but we need to show up for the little ones too. Stepping back to understand a situation before we act can sometimes be the best way to help. It takes practice to calm our minds to do this, to see what's in front of us accurately enough to respond well. Meditation, yoga, tai chi, contemplative prayer, similar practices can all help. But if you're not able to do that, cutting back on screen time and spending a little longer in the garden are a good start. Just take some time to feel uncomfortable. We can all do something to slow down in this speedy world. Most people wait until death is imminent to appreciate the small wonders in life. But the truth is, we're all gonna die. Just the everyday practice of intentionally calling that to mind, acknowledging the transitory nature of our experience, can remind us of the many miracles we're experiencing moment to moment. We can gain so much when we slow down enough to notice the ordinary. Ironically enough, one of the things we miss if we're moving too fast is how much everything is changing all the time. It's almost like we ossify everything in our minds to save time. Not only does that reduce our ability to appreciate our experience, it stops us from seeing the bigger picture and the opportunities change can bring. And speaking of change, this will be my last official day as an intern here at Sterling. Though I will technically be back to preach one more sermon on August 20th. It's been wonderful having the opportunity to be a part of this community, especially during this time of transition. Change can be daunting, but my hope for you as you move into your time with an interim minister is that you'll continue to live into the possibilities of impermanence and take the time to reflect as individuals and a whole, so that you can appreciate how special this community really is. And plan expansive, exciting new frontiers for it. I expect great things from you as you move into change, and I'll miss you. So I'm returning the key that intern John passed to me, to Corin, and you can share it with your next intern. The peace and happiness we look for outside, in entertainment and distraction, gossip, drama, even sometimes religious experience, can be found within ourselves. in ordinary experience. You already have what you're looking for. Awareness is the real miracle, and it's always available. Embrace change, embrace awareness, embrace the ordinary. That's where we find the real mystery and wonder on which we build our faith. Not in some lofty experience of angels singing and trumpets sounding, in being there, scrubbing the floor, driving to work, in line at the bank, alive. May it be so.